Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that is for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the American Federation of Government Employees and OPEIU, and we thank them very much for their support. Joining us today, we've got Rob Scott of EPI, the Economic Policy Institute. Rob, welcome to Union Edge.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Apparently, our trade deficit with China is growing. Imagine that.
Yeah, what do you know?
Yeah, well, you know.
20 years and counting, more or less.
I mean, if it's president's choice place to get steel and aluminum and his clothes made, maybe, that's another story. So, unfortunately, because of those trade deficits, Donald Trump, when he's buying steel, is putting Chinese steel workers to work, and he's not putting American steel workers to work. $3.4 million jobs, right?
Exactly, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, most of those jobs were lost in manufacturing industries. Nearly three-quarters of all the jobs lost were in manufacturing. And, of course, those are good jobs with excellent wages and benefits. And the deeper problem is that this has had a depressing effect on wages, not just in manufacturing, but for everybody who looks like a manufacturing worker. Essentially, it's all workers that don't have a college degree. And they're close to 100 million such workers in the economy. And those are the people who've lost the most as a result of these growing trade deficits with China.
So let's see. If there's 100 million blue-collar workers, like you're saying, in the workforce, that's a third of the population of the country.
It's two-thirds of the labor force.
Yeah.
Even a bigger share of working people. And, of course, each of those working people supports a family of at least two or three or four individuals. So it's a much bigger share of all the households in the country as well, clearly a majority. And I think this explains in part why working people have abandoned the mainstream elements of both political parties in the last election cycle.
How did we end up with this trade deficit being that big?
Well, we've negotiated a series of trade agreements, but the biggest and most important of those was the one that allowed China to enter the World Trade Organization. This guaranteed China unfettered access to the U.S. market, which is the richest market in the world, with very few rules governing that trade. And they essentially have exploited that relationship and engaged in all kinds of unfair trade and subsidies and created massive state-owned companies, often companies run by the military establishment in China, that have built up massive amounts of excess capacity in a whole range of industries, steel and aluminum and ceramics and renewable energy components like solar panels and windmills. They're upwards of 20 industries that they're dominating through unfair competition, and this has distorted global trade and led to tens of thousands of jobs lost.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You know, we talk about renewables. I mean, it's not rocket science, but we invented the solar cell. We invented the wind turbine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have spent here in this country a lot of money through the National Institute of Science and Technology to refine and improve those products. And
NASA and DOD, all of them have contributed.
And we just here in this country just let that slip right through our fingers. Any chance on getting those things back?
Well, I think that to some extent the horse is out of the barn, but each step in advancing the technology of these products can be copied. We can learn from what the Chinese have done, and we can certainly prevent them from dumping these products in the United States, selling them below cost. And for some of them, that will be sufficient to allow us to begin to create domestic capacity to create these things. For example, windmills. Those are very heavy products. They weigh incredibly large components. And yet we are importing windmill towers, enormous pieces of steel that are used to hold these things up. We've seen them all over the country. You got up close to one, it's hundreds of tons of steel in each one of these windmills. And we're importing that, and it just makes no economic sense.
Well, let me ask you this, Rob. How much of that is the decision of the project owner, i.e. the person who owns, you know, this plot of land that they're going to put a wind turbine on? The decision makers saying, you know what, I'm not going to use U.S. steel because I don't like union people, or I don't like, you know, I don't want those people. And they decide that they're going to buy it from China just to stick a finger in the eye of the United Steelworkers.
Yeah, some of that's going on, but I think more of it, to be frank, has to do with the prices that are offered in the market. And China has taken advantage of the market. They're selling steel at $200, $300, $400 below the cost of what you can buy that steel here for in the United States. And I for one, don't blame purchasing managers for trying to get the most out of their budgets. I think the problem is deeper than that. I think the problem is that we're allowing China to engage in this unfair trade. And if we get the prices right, if we get the rules right, I think the markets will take care of it. Certainly, we should use our government purchasing power. We're talking about in that case using public dollars. We should use them to support the development of domestic industries. So, you know, Trump is saying he's going to invest $1 trillion in infrastructure. We should spend that money on American-made products, and I think that will help those industries rebuild.
Yeah, but haven't we seen Congress continue to say things like, you can buy foreign-made cars, you can buy foreign-made steel, you can buy foreign-made aluminum, if you want to on these governmental projects. I mean, my God, we actually have U.S. military recruiters driving around in foreign-made cars.
No question about that. And that has been a direct consequence of letting free traders interfere in all kinds of policy decisions. Multinational businesses who are taking advantage of these subsidies have worked to change the laws. So, for example, the Export Import Bank has been efforts made to lower the amount of domestic product that's required in order to qualify for subsidized Export Import Bank financing. So that's been a battle that's been going on for the last 5 or 10 years. So yes, certainly the people who've been promoting these these efforts to break down our fair trade laws and our Buy American laws have done damage, no question about it.
Absolutely, and that is, at least for me, and I think many other people, very frustrating, but that's another story. How can we reverse this process? How can we get back to a situation where we actually have companies and corporations here in this country buying American product?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to make it difficult or impossible for countries like China, and they're not the only one. There's Korea and Japan and Turkey and many others that are engaging in unfair trade. We should take that on with government policy. In the past, we've relied on companies and unions to file those cases. The government should be filing anti-dumping and countervailing duty cases to tackle these unfair subsidies that are being received. But that's just a small bore response. I think we need a response that's scaled to fit the problem. And the most important thing we can do, I think, in my view, is to rebalance currencies, realign the dollar. That means lowering the dollar's value against, in particular, the Chinese yuan, the Japanese yen, and the euro, because we have big trade deficits with all of those regions, and all three of them run big surpluses with the world as a whole. And those are the appropriate targets for our big trade policy actions. And I think so we need to move in that direction, is revaluing the dollar down and revaluing these other currencies up.
There you go. Rob, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it. Thank you for highlighting these issues and giving us some things that we can work with to change them.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it very much. Rob Scott of EPI, the Economic Policy Institute. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.